Always like to welcome you guys to check us out on The Valley Outdoors, where you can check, as we talked about prior to the break, the seasons of any hunting season, fishing season, or anything with any of the DNRs across the United States. And, of course, Facebook, check us out, please.
That's on our website, www.thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Yep. So we've got that. We've got Facebook. We've got it all, big or small. We've got
a lot
of
great links on there to people that we enjoy working with, and you can check out all their stuff.
Yeah. We're going to post photos, I think, of our trip pretty quick. We got to share that and get that done.
Yes.
I sent you the goose recipe. I sent you that today as well. So you'll have that.
Okay.
So we'll get that taken care of and get that put up there. Don, we didn't get a chance to finish. We were talking off air. The story has a kind of an amazing detail. Fill us in on that.
Well, you know, this,
let me set the table.
Yes.
It was previously we were talking about the sheds. The guy found four different years of sheds.
About 3 years of sheds. And then he actually got the buck this year, in the last week. You know, we're very fortunate in this area. We have a lot of large bucks that seem to be showing up, at least this year anyway. And part of the story that he had with that is the fact that this last year he had found just one side of the shed, you know, one shed, I don't know, right or left side. And he spent, I could be mistaken, but it seemed to me like 60, 80 hours walking the land where this
100 and some acres?
160 acres looking for the other site. And he ended up finding it, which is amazing.
It is, because most of the time they're eaten and gone.
Right.
That's crazy.
So he's going to have quite a display when he gets that beauty
we'll
mounted.
Have to get that and get some of the photos and put them up.
Have you ever found a shed?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I have not.
Yeah.
I want to really bad. I bet you Willow would find one.
There's shed hunting dogs that's what they do.
Yeah, you can train dogs to do mm-hmm. that. Yeah.
Which is pretty wild.
That was something they brought up at Dawkins.
Yeah.
They train them to do that. Pretty cool.
Okay, so the moment you've been all waiting for, I've teased it enough, the unforgivable deer hunting sin, and I'm not going to mention any names on this, but if you shoot multiple deer, if you shoot a deer, common, everyone, their practice is, because in summer, you're fishing, what's the best snack to have in the boat, Don?
It's sticks.
Deer sticks. Deer sticks. If you process a deer and you don't get deer sticks, I don't care what flavor. You could have amazing flavors. You could have cheese. You could have jalapeno cheese. You could have regular cheese. You could have
maple.
Swiss cheese. You could have maple. You could have blueberry. You can have anything you can possibly imagine under the sun to meet any and every palate. And what happens when I come in tonight to record the show? Someone mentions that they've just picked up their deer.
Mm-hmm.
Several. How many?
Two.
Two large deer. And from the processor. And I said, what flavor sticks did you get? And guess what the response was? Exactly that. Dead air.
Yep.
There were no sticks. There were no sticks.
Nope.
The stick cupboard is bare.
Jerky's covered.
And
the sticks were missed twice.
Sticks were zeroed. The goose egg.
You could probably go back with some of the ground venison and have some sticks made just to save yourself.
Done. That's it's past tense. It's over.
Yep.
It's over. This year.
I'm sure glad we ordered some sticks.
I'm at the point where you didn't even get any deer. That's how I feel.
Well,
I was fully expecting.
The person is very near and dear to our hearts, and we love him dearly.
I didn't say that. It doesn't change.
He's lucky we love him.
That doesn't change.
He missed twice.
He shot
twice.
A deer. He got the deer.
No, I mean, he had two
totally
deer.
He totally failed. It's the fail police should have.
Two opportunities.
He had two opportunities to remember.
I'm sorry. You guys are listening right now. If you get a deer, it is almost a given you get sticks.
Yep.
It's not a question.
You know, there's so many different cuts you can get now, though. It's, you know, you can get brats, you can get like sausage for...
it's all very expensive.
Yes. you get your roast and your ground.
And your sticks.
Actually, we are getting actually a venison breakfast sausage.
And Don, yes. You are getting what kind of sticks?
We're getting jalapeno.
See, that'd be good.
Here's what I want to do.
Don, do you want to take some jerky?
Maybe bring some, huh?
Well, if you bring some, I'll bring you some jerky and we can make a trade.
Oh, no. There's no trades going on.
Well, there's
you
be
suffer.
A, there's going to be
suffer
a venison.
The no stick event. So here's no, Don, hold on a second here. this is what I want to hear. I'm like a near dear to my heart. If you have a favorite flavor of deer stick, I want you to post it on
Facebook.
Facebook.
Yep.
Go to our The Valley Outdoors Facebook page and post it. I'm going to put that post up there. Give us your best deer stick stories since there was no deer sticks brought in to the show. That's what I'm going to have. And we're going to see exactly what you would have missed in all these people.
Your favorite deer sticks.
Your favorite deer stick flavors. Post it on Facebook. I want to hear it. That's what I want to hear.
All right.
I'm glad I feel better about it. I'm still not going to have any deer sticks. I thought I was going to. I didn't get to go
maybe
deer hunting
next
this year.
Week.
Yeah.
Okay. There might be some venison on the table.
I'm done with my rant. I'm solid. I'm good now. Okay. And now we can move on. We are going to be back right after this. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Welcome back, everybody. And after our lively conversation.
You off your rant now?
I'm all good.
Okay.
I'm all good. Unfortunately, one of the sad stories I was going through before the show, talking about chronic wasting samples coming from deer, elk, both during the Wyoming hunting season. Hunters are helping to fight, obviously, the chronic wasting disease in the animals out there. And everywhere by submitting the samples to state officials, and they're going to be used to study CWD, which has been found just about everywhere. So far, over 4,800 lymph nodes have been submitted to the Wyoming Game and Fish, according to the press release. 6,500 samples were submitted for the entire hunting season in 2020. So they're well ahead of the pace. One of the things I find is interesting, current estimates in this particular case really overshadow what it really comes down to is it's devastating herds and it's really causing some major issues, and it's really unfortunate with what's gone on out there, and we're not hearing exact impact as of yet, but we'll soon see how that shakes out.
Yeah, so. Well, it's good they're doing the testing, you know. It's I know they're doing quite a bit of testing in Minnesota this year, too, so.
Yeah, it's...
I think this, the area that we live in, this might be one of the first years that they've done it as a... I don't know if it was mandatory, but I think it was first weekend and second weekend or something of that nature. Or the first weekend of each
season.
Hunting season,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, the funny thing, too, is when you deal with that as a whole, they've been looking at it since 1997. And according to this particular season, you know, they're looking at what effect and how you can tell, obviously, if it has. And, of course, weight loss, stumbling, listlessness, and it can happen in the deer, elk, reindeer, and moose.
Does it affect antelope?
No.
It doesn't.
Apparently not. Apparently not. And, of course, it is a fatal disease. So we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, entertainment, not so much. Story we talked about a little bit out of Idaho, Don, and it was surprising to me when I saw it popped up as a story. Hunters are now being offered $2,500 to cull Idaho wolf population. The wolves in Idaho are now being targeted by the Department of Fish and Game due to increasing attacks. There was a law that was passed loosening restrictions, and the population sits somewhere near 1,500 wolves. So they've allocated over $200,000 to hand out bounties for culling the wolves. And
I would have to believe that's for resident only.
Well, here's the thing. They can not only hunt, but they can also use other means normally not allowed, such as trapping, snaring, night hunting with night vision, bait, hunting with dogs, and even hunting from vehicles. The new law authorizes hunters to hunt and trap the wolves unrestricted on a single tag throughout the year on private property. And the bounty system is one of the things that would contribute to the relisting of wolves, somebody said, as far as one of the Idaho Conservation Leagues. But I think what they need to understand is that there's a certain point where there's too many, and they will devastate and impact significantly the interaction with the human.
I don't imagine there's any natural predator to keep that in balance in nature, is there?
No. In that area, there's
so nothing. I mean, at one point, didn't they have the they had a hunt here? Seems like we did a story on it in the last 6-8 months, where they were going from 4,000 wolves down to 1,500.
Well, and here they're looking at significant cull, significant, and I mean over 50%. Yeah. In fact, well over 50%. The $2,500 that would be awarded for killing a wolf in an area where the Fish and Game says that they are chronically preying on livestock, while wolves killed in the northern tip of the state will fetch roughly $1,000, and all other parts of the state, $500 per wolf. However, the Idaho Wolf Depredation Control Board said that the funds start to dry up before June, and in that particular case, they'll look at it, and they will cut the bounties significantly. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure they're keeping an eye on it.
I would suspect that's...
I wonder why we haven't had a similar explosion of the wolves. Maybe we have in Minnesota. I know they, you know, there's a lot of wolves in northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota.
There's a lot of them.
Yep.
You know, and the significance is pretty crazy as far as what they're doing as far as predation.
Right.
It's crazy. It is truly crazy. But we'll stay on that story. Another story coming out of southern Minnesota, a bow hunter arrowed a 9-point buck as well as a whole section of fence.
How so?
As the sun came up on a calm, crisp October 23rd morning. Oh, sorry, that was Packers. Sorry. I had been watching two small bucks sparring this individual who shot this deer about 100 yards. And he'd been watching for about half an hour or so. He said one of the deer split off. He was feeding on turnips, watched out of the corner of an eye, and a buck stepped into the open, south end of a food plot, and he noticed something unusual in his rack. Put his binoculars on it and realized that he had a whole mess of fencing wrapped around his head, and he recognized the deer as a split G2 buck that his brother had trailed with trail camera for a number of years.
Wow.
So he happened to shoot it. It was about 25 yards out with a bow. And he evaluated it a little bit further and found out that it was roughly 20 yards probably between him, 38-yard shot. And he had a heck of a time trying to get everything untangled.
Undone.
Because once it ran, it tangled up in everything under the sun. So it was a difficult drag, he says. And while 12 days earlier by our trail cams, I knew that the entanglement had happened from that period of time when there was nothing. he knew that it was kind of a difficult thing. But important is, if you're going to leave something like that out, you should not leave it out so it can be pulled away. You should throw it away, because that could be devastating. Same thing like with a spare tire, that elk that had the spare tire around its neck. Was it a moose? I think it was a moose. And it was like a year and a half that it had a tire around its neck, and the DNR finally got it, and then they could pull it off of its neck. But sad.
Yep.
I mean, really, not a good thing. But nonetheless, he could have signed up for an Olympic event. Fencing.
Yes. There you go.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my. Wow.
Hey, going downhill, Ava.
What can I say?
Good thing it's almost the end of the show, yeah, my friends. Yeez.
Well, you know, I never said I was going to have good jokes.
Yeah.
So, on a not-so-fun note, the angling community in the bass world lost an amazing, probably one of the top anglers in the country, and that's been out for, I don't even know how long. Aaron Martins, incredible individual. He's MLF Tour champion, Bass Pro Tour champion, elite champion. I won't go through his everything he's done, but he died after a 19-month battle with brain cancer, and it was a glioblastoma, very similar, in fact, to what Tommy Scarless on the walleye side had succumbed to. And we certainly wish the best for his family. And he fought right to the end. In fact, he was fishing tournaments where they would drive the boat for him. He said, one of the interviews, he said, "I can't see very well, but I got somebody driving me. He knows where I need to go. And all I got to do is get my bait out there." And if there's anything that's dedication and really something to aspire to as far as that drive and not quit attitude, that was Aaron Martins. So again, our best wishes to his family and that. So let's end on a positive note. We're looking at some numbers I got from the DNR.
Yes.
As of so far within the state of Minnesota, we're looking at harvest totals, 154,798. I don't have a relative comparison because the season's not over, but looks like about 57% were male adults. Juveniles were about 7.5%. Female adult, about 30%, and female juveniles were about 5.5%. So very similar to past years. We'll keep that kind of figured out. We'll get to that totals as we come to a close for that basic part of the season. And we come to a close. Thanks for joining us. For Don, Ava, myself, Eric, we are the Valley Outdoors, and we are out of here.